1. Stone Barrington stood under the portico of the Hay Adams Hotel in Washington, D.C., and shivered. It was January 20th, and he was dressed in a dark blue pinstripe suit, a double-breasted cashmere overcoat, a black cashmere scarf, and a soft dark blue fedora. His hands were crammed into soft black leather gloves with a cashmere lining, yet, after only 3 minutes of this, he was already freezing. A thermometer across the street read 22 degrees Fahrenheit. A black SUV with darkened windows drove under the portico, and the doorman conversed briefly with the driver, then beckoned Stone. Another doorman opened the nearest door for him, and he slid into the warm interior.
"Mr. Barrington?" the driver asked. "That's me. May I see your White House badge, please?"
Stone dug his way past the scarf and felt for the plastic badge on the silk tape that hung around his neck, then held it up so the driver could compare the face on the badge with the man holding it.
"Thank you, sir. Normally it's a very short drive, but it may take us a little longer today. Lots of traffic."
It took 12 minutes before someone opened the rear door, and Stone hurried through the next portico. His outer garments and hat were taken from him, and he was escorted to an elevator, which disgorged him onto the upstairs floor. A Secret Service agent opened the door to the family quarters and allowed him to enter. He knew the way. He found the President of the United States, the former President of the United States, and the next President of the United States sitting before the fireplace, sipping from teacups.
"Come in, Stone, and have tea," Catherine Rule Lee said. "It's the custom on Inauguration Day for the outgoing president to have the incoming president for tea prior to the ceremony."
Stone shook Will Lee's hand and kissed Holly Barker on the cheek, then asked for Earl Grey with lemon and a carcinogen. The president poured.
"I understand it's a bit chilly outside," Will said. "I recommend outer clothing made to Antarctic standards," Stone replied.
"Typical," Will replied, "on Inauguration Day. How's the crowd?"
"I've only seen an aerial view on television," Stone said, "but the ground under the crowd was not visible."
"Oh, good. The networks delight in comparing the crowd size to the last president's."
Stone was only halfway thawed before they were summoned to depart. In the reception hall downstairs, his outer clothing was returned to him, and he was helped into it. Taking the jump seat beside Will in the presidential limousine, Stone marveled at the foot-thick doors, the 3-inch-thick window glass, and the absolute silence inside. As soon as the women's garments could be arranged in the rear seat, they were off.
"The Bichettis will be seated with us," Kate said. "I'm told we'll have electric blankets for our laps."
The Bichettis were Stone's closest friends. He, the police commissioner of New York City, and she, the COO of Strategic Services, the world's second-largest security company. Stone and Dino had been partners as detectives on the NYPD when everybody was younger. Only Kate and Will managed to make conversation. Holly was as silent as a rock, and Stone followed her lead. Holly slowly leafed through a document, her speech in a leather-bound folder, her lips moving a little. Amazingly, given the temperature, the streets on the way to the Capitol were lined with the public 6 deep. They were there to see the first female president succeeded by the second such. Crowd noise could be heard dimly through the thick glass, and Holly remembered to smile and wave. Stone sat perfectly still, as no one had come out in the freezing cold to see him.
As they dismounted from the tank-like vehicle, a band somewhere nearby began to play "Hail to the Chief" at the sight of Kate. They were led up some stairs to a row of seats behind the podium, where the Bichettis awaited, along with the promised warm blankets. The crowd size lived up to the aerial photographs. A clergyman intoned a prayer that was more like